Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
And our Lord Jesus Christ, who is risen from the dead, said this on the night when he was betrayed. He told the disciples and us, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him. For he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. This is our text. What is it with all those stories out there about orphans? When you think about fairy tales or stories that you know, so often it begins with a child who has no parents, or if not a full-fledged orphan, then there's at least a child who has lost one parent, probably a mother, and that never turns out well. You can cue the wicked step-parent followed by the abuse and neglect or hardship of some kind. You know the stories. Cinderella, Snow White, Oliver Twist, Tom Sawyer, Anne of Green Gables, Superman, The Christmas Story of Holly and Ivy, and that musical orphan Annie. Why so many orphans? I think it's because it taps into something so deep in our nature. And also because there are many who have experienced this in one way or another. But think about it. There's nothing more frightening than the thought of being alone in the world. Alone and small and vulnerable and cold. No friend, no helper, without direction or guidance, lost, wandering, maybe thrown into an unknown place full of strangers. We see a little picture of this whenever we've seen a lost child in a store, even if they're only separated from their mother for 3 or 4 minutes, the terror they experience. Psalm 27 taps into this fear when it says, "My father and my mother have forsaken me." If that's not been your experience in the world, and I hope that it hasn't been, then thank God for that. Thank God for your mother. Thank God for your father. Thank God for the people through whom he has cared for you. Of course, one of the reasons why orphans make for such great stories is that being an orphan also lends itself to adventure, excitement, and all sorts of interesting things that happen. In today's gospel reading, Jesus addresses this deep-seated fear. He tells his disciples, he tells us these words of assurance. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. This is such a crucial part of what we believe as Christians. We don't believe that Jesus kind of airdropped into this world, did his business, and then jetted off, leaving us Christians to make our own way in the world. We believe that he came, that he lived, died, rose again, ascended into heaven, and yet comes to us still, so that we are not without his direction or without his care. Although sometimes it does feel that way. I can think of some stories in Scripture of people who may have felt like they were orphaned or abandoned. You can start with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, madly sewing the fig leaves together and looking for a hiding place. Or the patriarch Joseph, thrown into a dry well by his brothers, sold to slave traders, and then captive in Egypt. Or the prophet Elijah, who runs away from the king and queen trying to kill him, goes to Mount Sinai and is convinced that he's the only believer left and asks to die. Or Daniel, during that long night in the lion's den, or the apostles gathered in the upper room on Easter Sunday evening, knowing that Jesus was crucified, hearing that the tomb is empty, but not knowing what it means. You can almost hear their cries. Where are you, O Lord? Why have you left us like this? What are you doing with us? And it's our lives, too. It's our lives whenever we're overwhelmed with the decisions and needs of daily life. When we're saddened by the death of yet another friend. When we're filling the calendar with more and more appointments as we try to figure out what's wrong with us or how to get better. When we have our ongoing struggles with family members and friends. When we watch the prices go up, the accounts go down. When we fall into the same sin again, doing the thing that we don't want to do and not doing the thing that we do want to do. And it seems like we're on our own. Seems like we're alone, lacking guidance, direction, and support. And then we hear the words of Jesus. I will not leave you as orphans. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. It's striking to me that Jesus felt a need to say this. He could only feel a need to say this to the disciples if he knows that there's a possibility that they're going to feel like orphans at some point. He knew what was coming. He said this on the night when he was betrayed, when he already knew, but they didn't, about the cross and the grave. He knew that it would look like they were abandoned, forsaken, and left to their own devices. And yet he also knew in that very moment, when they wondered where Jesus was and what he was doing, it would be the moment of his greatest care of all for his brothers and sisters. The Good Shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He is willing to give himself, not simply for a good man, but for those who were still sinners. If our Lord is willing to lay down his life for us, he's willing to be crucified and to be placed into the grave, will he leave us as orphans? Will he abandon us or forsake us in any time of need? The answer, of course, is no. He will not leave us as orphans. He will come to us. And this is true as well because of the help that we need from him. Jesus made a statement at the very beginning of our gospel reading today. He said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I think it's fair to say for most of us, maybe for every single one of us in here, that we would turn to our Lord and say, Lord, we love you. He says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And we do love Jesus, and we do desire to keep his commandments, but we know how divided we are. We know that it's not only that we may feel abandoned as orphans at times, but we know what we do to ourselves. That we love our Lord on the one hand, but we love ourselves on the other. We want to keep his commandments on the one hand, but we struggle to keep his commandments on the other. And we seek to serve ourselves instead. Jesus knew the struggle that we would have. He knew the feeling that we might have of being forsaken, and so he gave this beautiful and precious promise. He said, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper. Another helper, because Jesus is the first helper who came in the flesh to do his ministry, carry out his work, but knowing that they would need his help still, that we would need his help after his departure, his death, resurrection, and ascension, he promised another helper. Who is the helper that he promised? Who is the one that he said he would send from the Father to us? It is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one whom Jesus sends to be our helper, to grant us that comfort, to give us the strength to create in us the love that does desire to keep his commandments. He did this for the disciples, and he did this for us, knowing that the new commandment he had given to love one another is not always so easy to keep. The idea of loving one another is really easy in theory. If we simply talk in the abstract about loving one another, it sounds like a piece of cake. But confronted with another real human being, with their own wishes, desires, ideas, loving them is really, really difficult at times. You know this because you've been part of a family, part of a congregation, connected to other sinful people. You know how hard it is to love one another. And Jesus said, I will send you a helper, even the Holy Spirit, so that we would not be alone, so that we are not left to our own devices after Jesus ascends into heaven, so that we have the help that he provides. The help that is Jesus himself, and the help that is the Spirit sent from the Father. Jesus adds on to that promise of the Holy Spirit when he says, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. There are times in life when we might simply need help for a moment. We're going through some situation, and we reach out and ask for help, but it's temporary, it's limited, it's bounded, only for a time. Jesus says this helper will be with us forever. There will be a time, the time in which we now live, in which we do not see Jesus in the flesh. And he says during that time, the helper will come to us, and he will remain with us. Jesus had said that where he is going, the disciples could not follow immediately because he was going to prepare a place for us, and he will come again to take us to himself. The disciples didn't understand what Jesus meant. We may struggle what Jesus means. But it would become clear to them that Jesus would not always be with them in the same way. He would remain with his church. He made the promise, I will never leave you nor forsake you. He said, I will come to you, but in a new and different way. Jesus keeps that promise for us still. He keeps that promise every Sunday as we gather through the bread and the wine and through the spoken words and through the brothers and sisters in Christ, through the gift of holy baptism, which St. Peter said now saves you. But he would not be with the disciples again like he was in the upper room until the day when he would come again in glory, the day for which we pray and the day for which we wait. And in between that time, the ascension of our Lord and his coming again in glory, he has sent to us the Holy Spirit, descended on Pentecost, who brings us to repentance, who grants us forgiveness of sins, who is and will be with us forever. We cannot see the Spirit in the same way, but we believe that this is true because Jesus promised it, that he will be with us even to the end of the age, and that this is for our good. Jesus also promised that the Helper will be with us forever, and that he will dwell with you and be in you. We have many different helpers in life. I suppose you could look at the coming week and look at all the help that you might need in various ways in your own life. But this is a helper who is more intimate and more personal than any other. Not only is this a helper who will be beside you, but he says, this helper will be with you and will be in you. Other helpers impact our life from the outside, but here is a helper who comes and takes up residence inside us, who works from the inside out, who creates that love in us for Jesus, that love that desires and will keep his commandments. You could say that the Holy Spirit is the one who possesses us. He is the one who enlivens us. He is the one who generates faith in our hearts in Jesus. He is the one who brings forth those good fruits and desires in our lives and brings forth the good works that serve our neighbors. The Holy Spirit is the helper who makes our relationship right with our God through faith in Jesus and begins restoring our relationships with others as well through the very love of Jesus. Jesus made some wonderful and precious promises. On the night when he was betrayed, he promised that he would not leave us as orphans, but that he would come to us. And he promised that he would send the Helper from the Father, even the Holy Spirit, so that we will not be without direction, so that we will not be without guidance, so that we will not be without the Father or the Son or the Holy Spirit. I mentioned the words of Psalm 27 toward the beginning of the sermon, Psalm 27, verse 10, which says, "My father and my mother have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me in." You see, today, even as we thank God for the love and the care of our earthly mothers, as we celebrate with great joy the gift that he gives to us through them, we also see that our God has brought us into another family as well. That he has not left us as orphans, because through our brother Jesus Christ, we have been given a new father in heaven. We've been brought into the church as another mother for us. We've been made God's own children and children of the Heavenly Father. And so we gather today not as orphans, but as members of a family, as those who pray to a Father in heaven, as those who look for our salvation to our older brother Jesus, and as those who encourage and support one another here in our life in Christ. Jesus said, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." He says it again at the end of our reading, "Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me." What he asks and says is clear, but it is not based on our own ability, our own will, or our own desire. It is based on the promise that he has given, that he will not leave us as orphans, that he will come to us, and that he will send to us another helper, the Holy Spirit, who will be with us forever and who will even dwell in us. May our God strengthen and keep us now through these promises of Jesus, that we might live always as members of his family. In Jesus' name, amen.